What's up, guys? Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, of course, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith. And I appreciate you guys checking out episode 21. And on the show today, I've got Shadwick, Jake, and Dave from Quiet Hollers. They're going to be here. They're going to talk about their past, their present, their future. They got a lot of big things going on here. They just released a brand new single called Medicine about mental health, anxiety, depression, that sort of thing. And May is Mental Health Awareness Month. What better time to bring attention to that and draw attention to that than here in May with having them on the podcast. I've been wanting to have them on for a long time. Love their band, and they're great dudes. And I've known Jake for a long time, and Jake is actually responsible. He works for Never Nervous, so he's kind of responsible for me even having a podcast career, because he randomly asked me one day to be on one. And as I mentioned a couple shows ago, that's the one that got me hooked. So it was really awesome to be able to have him on my show, kind of repay that favor. And you guys definitely going to want to check them out. They've got a lot of stuff coming up in the next coming months. They're going to be at Forecastle, guys. I know a lot of you out there like to go to Forecastle. So if you do go, you're definitely going to want to check out Quiet Hollers, pick up some merch. And speaking of merchandise, if you have a band of your own or a business, you're going to want to get your merch printed at Audiophile Inc. You can check it out at audiophileinc.com. Shane at Audiophile has been printing my stuff for like the last 10, 15 years. Always does an awesome job. Best price in town, no matter what town you live in, because he will ship to all 50 states, even though he's located just right here in Louisville, Kentucky. You get your t-shirts printed, your tank tops, anything that you want to get printed, shorts, whatever. It's all there. So go to audiophileinc.com and tell them that Sean versus Wild told you all about it. So audiophileinc.com, AudioPhileInc.com. Also, guys, I've had a huge weekend of nothing but professional wrestling. And you guys know I'm a big pro wrestling fan. So all I can say is if you haven't gotten into it this weekend, if you just, check out what happened this weekend, this would be a great place to start. Two awesome pay-per-views, NXT TakeOver Chicago and WWE Backlash. Both exceeded my expectations immensely, especially I got to give a shout-out to TakeOver, because that Tyler Bate-Pete Dunne match, maybe the best match I've ever seen in NXT, maybe the best NXT pay-per-view they've ever had. That was definitely a 5, 6, 17-star match, in my opinion. Love Pete Dunne, love Tyler Bate. So if you guys haven't seen it, see it. And if you have no idea about what I'm talking about, this is a great place to start loving wrestling, was this weekend's events. WWE Backlash, not going to give it away, but what an ending. And didn't see that coming. Or did I? I don't know. But yeah. Anyway, guys, so thank you so much for tuning in to episode 21 of the Sean vs. Wild podcast. And if you guys like what you hear, please feel free to like, share, and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher and Podcast Addict and all the other places that you go. It's on YouTube now. And I'm revamping the website. So here in the next couple weeks, hopefully, there'll be some big changes. And I can't wait for that. Just keep building the brand, Keep building it up more and more and more. And if you guys like it, you want to tell your friend about it, I mean, word of mouth is going to be crucial with building the fan base. So anything you can do to help out, I definitely appreciate it. Anything I can do to help you guys out, you just shoot me an email at seanversuswild@gmail.com and you let me know. So big thanks to Joe Brock for always booping these dials. I forgot to talk about him last week. It seems like it's just one of those things. Sometimes you get busy and you overlook the guy that's helping you out the most. So, Joe Brock, big ups to you for booping the dials and saving the day every week, editing this podcast, making it sound super, super natch. All right, guys, that's going to be it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. Sit back, relax, kick back, and listen to the soothing sounds of Quiet Hollers. Now, let's get wild. Fair enough, man. You want it, you got it, bro.
Cheers to that.
What are you drinking that? Just like apple juice?
Cheers.
Yeah, it's
looks and tastes like apple juice.
Welcome to the
juice.
Sean vs. Wild sound
brown,
effects.
Brown
it
water.
Is, in fact, Makers 46, though.
Makers 46.
And we're sponsored by them?
Really?
Well, this comes out in a few days, and by then I'll have secured the sponsorship, so.
The paperwork will be turned in, guys. It will definitely be a thing. Well, yep. What's up, guys? This is Sean versus Wild.
Dave is banging his whiskey glass on the table.
Yeah, that's okay.
Please no more.
please no more. Guys, welcome to the Sean versus Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thriller Smith. And in the studio today, I've got Quiet Hollers.
Yay.
And I've got Shadwick Wild. It truly is Sean versus Wild here today because we're on opposite ends of the table. Oh,
wow. Actually, you know, I don't know if we can do this anymore because that's just a little too cute, I think. No, it's great. Sean versus
it's got real.
Wild.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just add an E to the end. It'll be a thing.
I just did Wild Horses at a friend's wedding.
Oh, and, nice.
Nobody could tell when I was singing it, but I was adding the E.
Fantastic. Yes, you should check out my show, Wild and Crazy Kids. I just went through and photoshopped an E into every one of our tie-dye t-shirts. Fantastic. I also got Jake Hellman here, bass player.
Hello.
And I've got Dave. You produced the brand new album and you laid down all the drums.
Yes.
Making it happen. I'm a drummer too, man. So man after my own heart.
Hell yeah. My mouth. I learned from the best.
Oh, right.
Right,
yeah,
across exactly. The table here.
And dude, Dave, as soon as I walked in, realized we had some history because I'm here in your studio.
Welcome back.
And this is not the first time I've been in this studio.
No.
So we have some years here playing in Uh-Huh Baby Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did a Halloween show here.
Yes, indeed. That was probably like 2010,
I think.
11?
I want to say we played with like Aniston.
That
no joke.
Jennifer Aniston.
Whoa.
Jennifer Aniston.
Blast from the past.
Right. That does.
Aniston.
Do you
remember
We Speak Texan?
Oh, yeah. Those guys? Definitely.
Didn't Johnny play in We Speak?
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
And they were
Johnny who? Say
awesome.
Last name.
Actually, look at this right here.
Jonathan Graham.
This table that we're enjoying right here.
Right. AKA
We
a drum
Speak
case.
Texan.
Oh,
this is their shit.
For the listeners, we have all the mics positioned on top of a large road case that apparently used to belong to a band called We Speak Texan, and their initials are emblazoned.
They were like
upon.
A brutal metal band, like
really,
yeah,
brutal.
Yeah,
we played a lot of shows at an ice cream shop parking lot with them.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Really,
dude. That's just how Louisville used to be, man. Like if you wanted awesome. A show. You just got to go to a parking lot or something to make it happen.
Remember, one of the first Quiet Hollers shows we ever did on tour was on the roof of a parking garage in Bloomington, Indiana.
That was before Dave and I.
They were running a generator off of this van up there.
That's awesome.
How did it turn out?
It was amazing. It was like really an experience. People were there. There was like 30 kids up there, and I mean, it didn't sound good, but it was
30.
Like,
Hoosiers all crowded around this van making it happen.
Yeah, there's a video of it on YouTube floating around somewhere.
I gotta check that out then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've got the Quiet Hollers here in the Deadbird Studios. I'm not at the Smithsonian like I normally am, guys. I'm out and about here at Deadbird. And guys, you just dropped, as of today, as of the recording
yes.
of this...
Pre-Makers 46 sponsorship.
Yes. So here we are in 2007 PMM. Pre-Maker's Mark.
Mm.
2007,
bro.
This is a time travel podcast?
Yeah, dude.
You've heard these.
That's you remember when you passed too. Out earlier? That was
this podcast came out before podcasts existed.
So we haven't even played on top of a not, parking garage.
We have not even played in this van generator yet.
Actually, does this band exist?
Arrival?
Oh, dude, I just saw it last week.
Do you know about this theory about how time is like, information flows in like an energy? And apparently in this branch of theoretical physics, they think that information works like, like light or like matter that it exists sort of independent of our knowing it.
Right.
And so, and because of that, it can kind of travel
backwards.
Across time.
Gotcha.
Are you talking about
it transcends
space,
time?
Are we talking
space?
About the Mandela effect?
No.
What? No.
Dude, the best Mandela effect.
That's a hoax, but people do explain that by this theory that is based in some real science, actually.
I, for real, like had an experience with Mandela effect because for some reason, now I know it's obviously not a thing, but my whole life I just kind of associated Jason Voorhees with having a chainsaw.
Oh.
And really? I don't know why.
Nope.
Like, but I feel like
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The
right.
He's got a mask on, you know?
Exactly.
Well, you know, memory is a really funny thing. And, you know, it's like kind of the cutting edge. It's one of the last frontiers, I think, you know, the human brain. And there's some really interesting memory research that's just coming about now that explains a lot of the Mandela effect stuff and kind of calls into question our criminal justice system in a huge way, because they're finding out now that people are about 30% as accurate as they thought at identifying people accurately.
That's a scary thing.
People are unreliable. Is that what you
say? Especially if the person's of another race, forget about it.
Yeah,
their odds go out the window.
Oh, so speaking of that, I saw a picture the other day. It was like a meme or whatever, but it was like, if I didn't tell you that all these, I photoshopped the same face in the background.
I know, isn't that nice?
Oh, you guys hear that?
But they photoshopped the same face in the background of like a Trump picture or whatever on everybody, and I had no idea until I read like the words on the meme. It was like all the same whatever.
Yeah, dude, secretary. I saw that actually.
The internet is gonna blow your mind every
you guys heard of this?
Every
it's
day.
2007.
Dude, in 2007
is definitely
bro.
A thing right now, but
check
I have a MySpace
out.
Account.
Here I am surfing the Netscape. Just look. Here it is, 2007.
You click on a page, and then you go away and make a sandwich, and you come back, and it's loaded.
Dude, you're not going to believe this, man.
Well, 2007, they had broadband in 2007, didn't they?
You know, I had a friend in high school.
DSL, I think.
DSL, yeah.
I had a friend in high school that had DSL internet.
Jake has the loudest whiskey
glass dude, that
I've
is super
heard
loud.
In
this
my
is
life.
Just going to be the sound effects podcast.
You got the loudest. That mic is, you're my ear.
Yeah, I know.
Phone.
I know.
You're my head.
I'm sorry, guys.
For being the quiet hollows, you certainly are noisy, guys.
Yeah.
Zing. Bet you guys didn't know there was going to be so many hot zingers here on the show today. Dude, it is these are the loudest cups.
Yeah, they really are. This is not a good choice. We should have had styrofoam.
Okay.
It's all I don't know if that would have been better. It's been like, whoa.
Maybe we should just not have been drinking whiskey during this podcast.
Guys, we should have just been real straight edge right before this podcast.
No ice.
No ice, guys. You know what? No ice allowed.
The ice is where we went wrong.
Yeah,
that's true.
Right, fuck it.
We're doing it live.
Hey, this is live, pal.
Bill O'Reilly.
Fuck it. We're doing it live.
But yeah, guys. So, got the brand new single, Medicine, that dropped today. And you got an album that's coming out in July, correct?
7/7/17.
7/7/17.
Wow,
that's my favorite 10
number. Years.
That's godly.
I just want y'all to know seven.
Amen Breaks.
Seven is my
the album's called
absolute
Amen Breaks.
Favorite number seven. Of all time. Yeah,
I'm so glad.
Are you a big seven guy?
My only regret is that we couldn't put this album out in 1977. Could have been 7/7/77
or 2007.
And actually, you know what? That's funny. And I didn't even do that on purpose, but. The thing we've been kind of talking about with the record is the way that we recorded the tracks and the way that the kind of way that it feels. It almost has kind of like a 70s-y kind of vibe.
Yeah, kind of like a psychedelic type feel to it, I feel like.
Psycho-cinematic.
Like a psycho-Sid.
Psycho-Sid
type feel.
Sid Justice.
But I was watching that Netflix documentary of the 70s, you know, that series, there's the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, whatever. I was watching the 70s one, and I was like, it was mind-blowing how many parallels there are between the 70s and, like, Nixon and Trump and, like, Russia and terrorists bombings everywhere. Like, there were more terrorist bombings there were, like, thousands and thousands of terrorist bombings in the 70s, like, before they got the shit under control and started to do something about terrorism
in general. Yeah,
people are just
before
blowing shit up fucking left and right.
Hey man, there's nothing new under the sun.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. True, yeah.
So we're just, you know, we're thinking about that a lot. Like, you know, what is it about these kind of sounds that, like, we try to talk about things that are stressful and, like, anxiety inducing and put them in this context of, like, a kind of groovy sort of flow that you can like accept more peacefully, I guess, you know?
Does that make any sense? We have, like, some really tough concepts on the album, I think, and, like, the way that we address it, especially live, the way that some of the songs are addressed, I think, we look like we're having fun, and it's, like, easier to take in, if that makes sense.
I definitely think so.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the things is I'd struggle with on a regular basis is looking at all the entire world and seeing how you and your drinks, seeing how awful the world can be in moments, you know, day to day. As we go by, we're just seeing things that really suck. That's like, oh, that's terrible that's happening. Oh, that's terrible that's happening.
And we see it all it's happening now. Yeah, you know?
And it's all news, and it all happens to you. I mean, you see stuff that happens in your local community on a daily basis, and you know, this guy got shot, this guy got mugged, this terrible thing happened here, this gas main broke, whatever yeah. it is. Mm. I mean, it's really hard to, like, even be excited when you're looking out on the world, and you need to,
have a positive
tone while still...
Like, just being subjective.
Being real about that. Like, yeah. So you have to have songs that, like, feel good.
Right.
And talk about tough issues. Hmm. Like, that has to be a thing that exists. You know?
Right.
Like,
we only ever want to feel good.
I mean, really.
I just quoted my own fucking lyrics. kill me now.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, it's like a...
It's kind of place, though. You know what I mean? It's like, you really don't want to be... unhappy all the time, so you have to just kind of put some of that stuff that sucks down and yeah. just be like, whatever, I'm just gonna have the best day that I can today, and that comes out in writing a song. Mm-hmm. Like you're gonna spend time putting that really terrible thing that you felt down on paper, and at the same time say, but it's okay, because yeah. tomorrow I'm gonna wake up and I'm gonna see my best friend, and I'm gonna see my girl, and I'm gonna see my dog, and I'm gonna see my mm-hmm. you know, play this Band-Aids. Show and enjoy myself.
Tying that back to, medicine.
No, for real.
That's like what it's all about, you know.
And medicine, though, I mean, like, tying it back to medicine is about mental health, right? In the grand scheme.
It's about mental illness.
Mental illness, yeah.
The opposite of about mental health, that would be a super.
So kind of like not that.
This song is about mental health.
But I mean, yeah. I can't speak on it like personally because you wrote the song. But you know, like, where
it's a principal songwriter. Like, what was the inspiration behind? We'll start with the
principal and the songwriter.
Yeah,
so I give out detentions
as a principal and the songwriter.
Yeah, so medicine is like this. It's this kind of like bouncy, groovy, 70s-y styled. Song that I don't know how it ended up that way at all, but it started with just the hook line, which is that I never felt it so bad that I needed medicine, and I get these, like, that's how songs like start a lot of the right. time for me, is it's just like this little line that I keep singing, it's just like in the back of my brain while I'm going around like brushing my teeth or trying to, you know, do whatever thing I'm trying to do. And so that one line, one little melody turned into this, like, I was like, where is this coming from? What is this saying about what's happening in my life? And at the time, it was a really difficult period for my wife and I both, in like our own separate sort of spheres of like freaking out and mental right. illness. Like, a very close friend of ours, both of ours had just committed suicide, and like my wife had been struggling with panic disorder, which is like where you get panic attacks where your brain is telling you that you're gonna die and there's nothing you can do about it.
So right.
We're dealing with all this kind of shit and figuring out like how to manage our symptoms and how to get by day to day and like how to still have like a healthy and loving relationship, and that the lyrics to Medicine kind of came out of that whole time of like trying to figure out like how do we address these issues that are going on with us, and like how do we like do this
right. I feel like just life, it's difficult day to day to just live, you know, and it's like, how do you get through even the crazy?
Should it be that way though?
Man,
with
I think,
all our modern conveniences, well, and like this, like, world that we've built for ourselves, and it's like it's still so hard for us to just fucking like get up in the morning and like look at our lives.
It, wow, is, if you don't talk about it.
Should we take a plane
it.
Break now?
We've got planes, trains, yeah. and automobiles.
Yes. Yes. Planes, trains, and automobiles.
Great movie.
John Candy's a shook him right
but,
there.
But, you know, I mean, it's like one of those things where it is really difficult if you don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If you don't have the dialogue.
That's why I write songs. Because right. it's like the only way that I...
Opens up the dialogue.
Like, so the only way that I'm able to like slow it down enough to like try and... think about these things that are happening in a way that I can share it with another person and get some like some sort of like mutual sharing of this experience of like
some sort of catharsis.
Yeah, catharsis. It's about catharsis.
It's about the catharsis, guys.
I've been using that word a lot lately, so I think it really is about that.
You know? It could very well could be.
One of my favorite things about playing in this band is like
not the band Catharsis.
Songs songs like Medicine, like in the topic that Medicine has, and then like even Mont Blanc is about like it's an apocalyptic song or whatever.
Right.
But we'll be playing these songs and people are like chugging down beers and dancing in the crowd and stuff, and I'm like, you know, the song's about all of you dying, right?
They're like, yeah, we do.
That's awesome. Happened to me directly. Like, I was driving to a practice, and I was listening to that song because I was just learning it in the past couple months.
Which one?
Mont Blanc.
Okay.
And I didn't really like in my like the way that my psyche like at first absorbed that song. It was just kind of like, oh yeah, this is like a song that you can kind of like, you know, get hit to. Mm-hmm. It's got like a vibe to it, right? You know,
people
it feels a certain
dance
way.
To that song.
People yeah. dance to that
exactly.
song.
Exactly. And then I started to hear the lyrics, and I was like, and then the bombs, and it's all of a sudden yeah. you make it. It's very definitively ugly in that sense, and but you don't get it if you don't listen to it that way. Like if you do the normal like listen
surface
to
level.
The radio yeah. listen to your song as it's kind of going while you're talking to your friends in the car or talking on the phone or doing whatever it is, and
oh,
you don't
see,
like pay
you know
attention
what? I
to
can't
it
do that
well okay you listen to it in Starbucks.
Yeah, like
while you're
that's,
ordering a
it's
coffee,
it's a
which is how that got kind of popular,
know,
right?
It is. That's so
and that's the point.
It
is like when it's that kind of situation and it's just like, oh, blasé, like whatever, it's just there. That's a nice melody. I like that. It doesn't hit you in any certain
that it's about the
heavy
world dying and nuclear holocaust. Right. That's the thing,
and that's what it's about.
And I was thinking about this today because I was in a Starbucks today, like working on the premiere, like doing our email list and doing our like, you know, social media stuff that we when we have a single that comes out, we have to like let everybody know somehow. And
you're just doing your taxes.
And I was sitting in the Starbucks doing that, and I had this like curse where I can't listen to a song and like not listen to the lyrics and be like, what does that mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and because of that, I have a very hard time listening to like pop music or the music that is everywhere all the time,
right? The music
is
normally
what it's
Starbucks.
Made for is so to
I
be everywhere all the time.
Put 2 Chainz on in the van.
I just can't listen to a song and like and accept like if a lyric doesn't make sense or is like is problematic in some way, that will bug the shit out of me.
Yeah,
and like I can't enjoy music that I feel like. You know,
I'm the same
in that way,
way
that
well,
people do, and people do enjoy our music in that way. They don't like take in.
I remember
you know,
this.
What do the words mean? All that shit.
Man, I remember this recording, this record that we just recorded. There's a part, and which song is it? Is it a? It's a not In Breaks. It's the.
Was it in Black and Red and White?
Black and Red and White.
Yeah.
And there's just like it's like a con. It's like contextual. It's a. Mm. It's a. Something in the prose doesn't work exactly right. There's like a you're speaking in past tense and then
right.
and forward tense or something.
Right. And we overdubbed that because I was unsatisfied
right.
with the grammar.
Exactly, the grammar was wrong, and we fixed it. But it's like one of those things where like I'm picking up 3 words that you say here at the beginning.
Mm.
As a producer, listening to this whole song over and over and over and over again,
yeah.
I'm hearing these 3 words and I'm like, that hits me. And then this thing over here, that hits me.
Right.
And then this thing here
you're not
hits me.
Everything.
And
all
those
the time,
words
you know?
That you're worried about that are like, if you wrote it down on paper, you said it to somebody directly, it might sound a little strange. It doesn't matter in that context.
Hmm.
But your attention
but
to
maybe it
anybody's
does,
attention
though.
To detail to make that make sense it is equally as important that way.
If I could just respond with a parable.
Please
See,
do.
And that's the thing is we could, and I'm an obsessive dude. So like Dave says, no, this is not going to matter to anybody. And he's probably right. Right. But I remember a James Hetfield line from the Black Album, which was released in 1991. And he says in the song Through the Never, he says, come to be how it begun. How it begun, guys.
Yeah, that's just laziness, right? Okay, you could have taken a second take there, James. Just say began.
I mean, it rhymes is the thing, but it's, you know, it's began, and everybody knows that. And,
right.
And he, you know.
When it comes to lyrics that drive me nuts.
It probably doesn't bother anybody except me, and I'm an asshole for that, but it's like, it's my cross to bear, and that's why I'm like how I am about lyrics.
Well,
right.
It's funny, because you're totally right, and it also totally doesn't matter.
Right.
It's exactly
lyrics,
that. It's
none
like
of this matters at all.
Right.
We're all
nothing
just
else matters.
I was just, yes.
Nice. A set of lyrics that bother me so much
around.
Is I love Dio. Like, I love just, like, metal and stuff. But, like, yeah, Dio's, definitely. Like, Holy Diver, of course, that's his, like, iconic single. But the lyrics are so no fucking crazy. All. But what kills me about it...
Ride the Tiger.
You can see his stripes, but you know he's clean. But then the next lyric is... Oh, don't you see what I mean?
I really don't.
And the answer is no.
I don't know what you mean.
As a matter of fact,
you
I'm not even on the same wavelength.
You know he's clean.
Actually, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, dude. And then you hear him talk about it, like, yeah, man, it's about this. And I'm like, I don't think it is.
Like, stripes don't make me think that tiger's dirty.
Dude, he's like, he's streaked. You know what it is, man? Maybe he's, like, streaked with blood, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe the white stripes are, like, super, super white, like they've been, like, you know, like when you wash your clothes.
White stripes. On black. They're not black stripes on white. This is the white stripes.
Do you think Do you think it's a black and white striped tiger?
Man, it could be. It's gonna be a white tiger. It's like
only, he doesn't specify. I've only ever seen that. Siegfried and Roy. Yeah,
it's only dirty because they defined it.
That's their thing. They had a white tiger.
I mean, they had one, right? I don't know what happened to him. He probably got the old.
Yeah, they probably had to take him out back. Dang, that got dark, man.
Damn. That's quickly.
But getting back on track, though,
that's what happens when you enslave a wild animal.
Yep, that's true. That's your fault. You should have.
He's gonna attack your face and try to eat it. You know,
that's like what I think when people own snakes. And like, I'm just
sorry,
like,
sorry about what happened to that guy. I really am, but like, I am sorry. About
everything
what happened,
bad sucks. Right?
But it's like when people own snakes and then they're like, "Oh, my snake like fucking bit me," and I'm like, "Yeah, that's because you own a snake, bro."
Yeah. Do you remember the story about the funeral?
I mean, we just heard. But they always say, and they're always about they're snakes. Always right. The snakes, like, get into your scent. They know who you are. They, like, relate to you. They can do all that shit. And I get that. But you know what? Some dogs suck. Some dogs are awesome. Right. And you got a bad snake, you got a bad snake.
Right.
They're going to fucking bite you. People. And you're going to be surprised because it's a fucking snake.
You got a bum snake, man. You got a rotten snake, bro. Snake. You got
so a friend of mine.
There's some bad dudes. Snake. There's some asshole people out there. I mean, it comes down to just that.
Yeah, if you got a rotten snake, bro, there's no coming back from
you got that. Dude, you got a Trump snake.
Yeah. But I tell you what.
Trump snake?
I was going to say, I got your rotten snake right here.
Hey-o. Oh, man.
We're here with Shadwick, Rotten Snake Wild.
No, but do you guys remember we were at a bar last night, the band, hanging out after rehearsal, and this dude was telling a story about being at his cousin's funeral, and his cousin like had these two snakes that she was very, very fond of. She loved these snakes, and her niece, I guess, had come to the funeral, and she's like a deeply religious Pentecostal person, and she heard about the snakes, and she asked, like, with no judgment in her voice, only genuine curiosity, what's it like to sleep next to two demons? Referring to the snakes.
How do you know that was her accent?
That was the most awesome thing I've ever heard.
So what's it like to sleep next to two demons? Are they whispering in your ear to do bad stuff? Like, vote for Obama?
Obama? You should say, hey, why don't you take me and old Dave home and find out the old-fashioned way. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, boy.
But just to bring it full circle here, guys, to get back on track, though, lyrically, I would say, though, like, your songwriting, your attention to detail on the lyrics, it's obvious to me as someone that's listened to your... Listen to your music that you put a lot of attention to them, because we were talking before the tape started rolling, like, we're recording on a reel to reel right now.
Yeah,
but before that started rolling, like, we were talking about,
okay,
like,
and sound speeds
and speed. You know, Mont Blanc is like talking about, like, a guy almost like comparing his social status to the fact that he has a very expensive pen, and then, like, what does that matter at the end of the day when, you know, a nuclear bomb kills most people and it's like Lord of the Flies time? Or like you know, you have a song about like a hitman off the, like, what, French coast somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, you don't hear a lot of at least I don't hear a lot of popular songs, pop songs or indie songs that deal with that kind of attention to detail on lyrics.
I have this like perversion where I like to sneak really fucked up shit into like a kind of happy or like a catchy song,
right?
You know, so like
what makes a pop
song? I have
song.
This thing, like, have you ever had a conversation with somebody that, like, you didn't know very well, and you're just getting to know them, and they seem like they were okay, like they were an okay person to talk to, and then they say something just kind of very casually that lets you know instantly that, like, they are not okay.
Right.
Like when they ask you, what's it like to sleep with two demons at night or something?
Yeah. Sleep next to two demons.
But, you know, like that feeling of just like you thought that this was like a cool thing that you were enjoying this. And then all of a sudden you realize like something is very wrong here.
Right.
That's kind of a thing I like to do to people who are listening to our songs.
Right.
Those are awesome horror movies, too.
Like that is the like the whole idea of a horror movie.
Yeah, like when right there's there, a guy actually. That everybody's living with.
Made one.
Yes. Yeah.
You know. Make you feel comfortable exactly when you think you're fine. That's when everything goes weird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, wait a second.
And I think the new album, Amen Breaks, I think that concept is more present than ever before.
I agree with that.
Definitely, in the songs there.
I agree.
Because there's a lot of talk about like the human condition and love and the mind and spirituality, but there's also like a lot of blood and guts and like murders and
so it's like
shit
if,
like that.
Right, like, on a windshield. And
it's like if Dune were an album, basically. Is that what you're saying?
Dave's
getting real nonchalant here on the podcast, guys. He's like, you know what? I'm
just
freaking
took
out
his
here,
headphones
man.
Off and was like, all right, well, see you fuckers later.
I'm freaking out here, man.
Smoke. Well, let's talk about Dave for a while.
Well, how did you guys pick up Dave? That's it. Recently lost a long time.
We did our single that was it's on this record. It was the first single that came out, but it came out like a year ago. But we did it here with Dave and
that was the first song I played on.
Right, the first song Jake played on.
Broken Guitar was?
Broken Guitar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I'm familiar with that. I've been jamming that on Spotify for a while.
It was supposed to
now.
Be like we were supposed to do that and then have a bunch more songs and then we kind of like ran out of money and we toured most of the year and like we didn't have time or money to record, so it just sort of like was the single and was like one on its own, and then we came back and started working on the new album with Dave and
Dave was producing Broken Guitar. He wasn't playing on it.
And the record. Yeah. And then we had some different projects that were going on that caused us to part ways with our former drummer and Dave happens to also be a brilliant drummer on top of being a brilliant producer and engineer, and he was
just an all around nice guy.
He's perfect.
He's so really that's great. Gonna help.
Yeah.
I was really excited, I mean, like, I've been in the band for, a year and a half now?
I think something like
that. Something like that. Mm-hmm. But
cool brag.
Yeah, nah.
When it trails off like that, a year and a half?
Hey, I've been in the band 7 years, so.
But Dave and I've known Dave over a decade now, and we've been
playing together a long time.
We've been great, great friends for a long time, and it's like, I'm so stoked to have him in the band now. It's
a good chemistry we've got going.
Yeah.
Well, not only an awesome drummer, but, I mean, judging by the single, great producer on top of that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Quality's fantastic. Thanks, and I think I've talked enough about it. It's time to just be about it. Let's go ahead and put this new single, Medicine, on the show right now. I'm gonna let the Shad Dog go ahead and lead us in with this one, man.
Shad Daddy.
Okay, well, I'm leaving. So it was nice to do this with you guys. Jake, what the fuck, man? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, this is our new single. This is called Medicine. We're Quiet Hollers.
Never half as bad as yours. I never saw the lights go out so quick on anything, and I mean anything. Put that knife back in the drawer.
Alright guys, that was Quiet Hollers with Medicine. And guys, you got a brand new album. Just to reiterate, brand new album coming out 7/7/17.
July 7th on Sonoblast Records.
How did you guys get hooked up with Sonoblast?
They approached us when we got back from Europe back in the fall. And they were like, we heard you guys are trying to do a new record like real quick. And we want to help you guys out however we can. And our, you know, We talked about what we wanted to do with the record and what kind of power we wanted to put behind it, creatively, monetarily, et cetera.
And they agreed.
And we came to an agreement, which is very exciting.
Some documents were signed.
Some cash changed hands.
Some papers were filed.
It was all in cash. I actually had them pay me an unmarked sequential, non-sequential
dollar bills.
Did you get it
dollar
in a Halliburton?
Single dollar bills.
Or just like a Samsonite type scenario.
I had them drop truck? It via drone
in a Samsonite. Manila envelope
to an undisclosed location that only I
anyway. had the coordinates.
So
too.
Yeah, they're
can't give away all the secrets.
Sonoblast it's a great label. They've been putting out music here and they have an office here and in Canada since in 2006. I think so it's coming up on their 10-year. Well, a 12-year anniversary. We're playing the anniversary. I think it might be the 15-year anniversary party.
I think it is 15.
So, yeah. Will our Canadian listeners have a chance to opportunity to see you guys up in Canada then?
I hope so.
We hope so, man. We get a lot of people saying, "Hey, come to Canada."
Canada.
There's just an article that came out today from a Canadian blog on the new single and saying how they they said. That Kentucky was a different world where we still make songs with like guitar, drums, and bass.
Right. And that's true, though. You know, it's funny because you guys have toured all over the world, and I have a background in touring
all over,
and stuff. And well, you guys went to Europe,
been to Asia, and we're Australia.
You guys have toured abroad.
We've been abroad,
and
or two.
Exactly. And, you know, just in my experience too, like even like doing Warped Tour and stuff, it would surprise you. Like there are instruments on the stage, but what's coming out is like something that's already programmed or mm-hmm. something that people yeah. are lip syncing over and stuff like that. And it was a mind blowing experience. And
Will you name names?
I don't want to name any specific names, but and there's nothing wrong. I mean, to me, there's nothing wrong with that. But I do find
that. Of course, there is. People are paying to see your band play live.
We are sampling stuff on the
yeah, channel. But I mean, that's not lip syncing.
There's a big difference between covering something that you can do live with something that you can't do live.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's like if you got a beat coming off of like a an 808. But like, if you're you don't just like,
I don't
want
to sing tonight, so I'm gonna lip sync to a three-chord vocal track. Okay. That's a different thing.
You know, it's funny too. Just mention a sample. You just brought up Milli Vanilli, and I'm just thinking, man, you know, Milli Vanilli just like they are crucified in the early '90s for getting caught, and now it's just like
same thing.
It's commonplace.
Did we not hear Mariah Carey just go through this exact same thing on TV a few months ago? The Red Hot Chili Peppers at the Super Bowl.
Yes, I was about to say.
And maybe that's on Saturday Night Live.
The Red Hot Chili Peppers, like, Flea went out there saying, I'm not playing my bass, and so everybody knows that I'm not playing the tracks because they told me to.
Yeah.
Right. And isn't it so crazy, like, they got kind of hung out to dry, 30 years ago, like, you wouldn't
be caught doing terrible, that. So that's it doesn't help.
But now it's commonplace, and all the pop stars are doing it now.
I think the difference, though, with Milli Vanilli is they weren't even singing them on the recording.
That's true.
Those tracks. It was like a totally different group of people.
Yeah.
But I don't know if auto-tune was as prevalent then, man. Maybe if they had auto-tune, it existed back then. It would be a thing.
They didn't need it because they had good enough singers to actually do that.
To hire to not really be in the
band. I personally am a fan. I'm a fan of auto-tune. If it's used as an instrument rather than as a crutch.
T-Pain. All right, so
here's I'm a little secret out on auto-tune. This is how it works.
Oh, from Dave.
Anybody that sounds great. Straight up, sounds great on a vocal microphone. You can take auto-tune, you can make that sound like $1 million. Anybody that sounds meh, okay, you can make that sound
like $1,000.
Like $1,000. Like it's done well, but it never polishes off the ability. Like you can't get rid of it that way. And there's no way to get around that. So I mean, it's a great tool.
You see people try to do that, and it's very apparent that that's what's happening.
Yeah, when we get the T-Pain, hard auto-tune.
T-Pain is different, though, because they're using it for a specific sound as an instrument.
It's a synthesizer.
Because T-Pain can sing.
It is a synthesizer. That is exactly what it is. It's basically a vocoder.
Right, exactly.
That's the point. And at that point, it is cool that way, and it sounds neat. And you can actually play off of that as a vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that can happen. You can
hip-hop is getting better at it all the time.
As a tool by listening to it in your headphones by having it come back through to you. But true auto-tune done correctly is always done on something that already sounds really good. And then I guarantee you that Adele record's got a fucking auto-tune on it. I'm going to go on the record and say that.
Adele, challenge extended. If you're listening to this you're offended by that,
she's drunk a fan, actually go out there because I do love Adele. Like, I love
Adele.
Adele
and I share the same birthday.
She's so fucking good. She's so fucking good. But, like, there's just, it's so perfect there because she's so fucking good already. But I guarantee you they ran a little bit of it. Like, at least a note or two here and there in that one take she had that was perfect.
Well, if you guys are looking for Dave, he's going to be out rolling in the deep.
I just sold myself up to the devil right
actually,
there.
Actually, Adele's going to have him whacked.
That's it, guys. If you never hear from Dave again.
As
you
long as it's her, it's fine. It's fine. It's really okay. I'm all right with that.
Adele, if you don't like what we're saying, just write in, man. Well, I apologize.
And if I'm wrong, that's also fine.
Exactly.
Blow me out of the water a bit by being that good. Please. Please do it. Because that's...
Yeah, somebody's got to,
Exactly. In this day and age, somebody has to, But, so you guys were, talking about touring and stuff like that. You said you had gotten back from Europe. I never made it to Europe. I want to know the deets Europe, bro.
Europe was amazing.
It's a different world.
So much fun, dude. It was just so much fun, I mean, we were mostly in the Netherlands. We did one night in Germany. And the way that people care about what you're playing, are listening to the lyrics, I don't know if it's because, English may be a second language for some of them and they pay attention more to what Chadwick's saying, but you know, here, if we play a song that it doesn't have drums and it's like mostly guitar and like a folkish song or however you want to put it, people are going to be talking over it, like everywhere. But there,
well, not everywhere.
I mean, most of the
time. It's a bad habit that a few...
90% of the time, people are going to be talking over it. But in Europe, people actually cared about what we were playing, cared about what the lyrics were, cared about taking care of us at the venues
all
and stuff.
All the food.
They would feed us. They had places great. For us to stay.
The food was so great that the times that it weren't, I remember more clearly than the times
that it was. Yeah, we had one bad meal, I think.
It was like, yeah.
What was the worst? Weird. What was the best and what's the worst? Let's rank European food
So the best was Daventer, right?
Yeah, definitely. They had this whole vegan spread of like this fresh like lentil soup and avocado salad and like just stuff that like you eat it and it makes you want to go and play the best show you've ever played.
And we were like out on a patio like... In this the oldest town in Holland.
It was like a venue that was built into an old, not a castle, but like an old municipal building from like the 1700s.
Right. So just some place that you would never see in the United States.
Of course,
because,
yeah. It's older than the United States.
Daventer is, I think, the oldest city in the Netherlands, the oldest port city.
I have a completely different experience of going
over. So you went with Cabin, right?
I went with Cabin. And we played this place... In, I think it was Leiden, and it was
University
called the
town.
LVC, and some guy who just frequented the venue, as like a general rule, he was just there every time it was a good show. He listened to our music beforehand, got like totally in tune with what the band was before we even got there.
Wow!
Showed up at our sound check and said, "Hey, I want to take you guys out on the boat," and. Took us on a boat ride around the entire city, which is set up like Amsterdam in the same way that it's got like canals everywhere. Yeah. And took us all around, and we saw like all the windmills and all that shit. He had a 12 pack of beers in the boat for us. And it was like, this is how we do things here.
Yeah, 12 pack of high life
food. It's like, and that's how we do it, guys. There were like 30 people at the show. I mean, it was not a packed out show or anything, but that's just the kind of thing that guy did on a regular basis. That in and of itself was like kind of a sign of what Europe is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just something like a totally different dynamic and than the U.S.
You know? Yeah, everything is so professional and thereby so kind of like plastic in the United States, and everything over in Europe is like when the people tell you they like your music, they're not lying to you. They're not saying high five, nice job. They're saying I liked your music.
Right.
If they don't come up after the show and tell you they liked your music, you're gonna know. But they just are interested in something else they haven't heard yet or experienced yet. The art of it in a way that the United States doesn't. I don't think really takes to heart. Like we just, you know,
we might say, "Hey, great job," and just totally
maybe
walk
we're
away.
Jaded. Yeah. I don't know if that's the right word for it. But it's
two
like,
things really. Is the first thing is that we in our culture in the States especially, and we're judged for this in other cultures, but we have this thing where we never want to hurt anybody's feelings.
Right.
We always want to express the most intense positive emotion that we can possibly express, just to make sure there's no shadow of a doubt that there might be. Yeah. Something awry, which is why we say everything's awesome, everything's amazing, everything it was literally amazing, you know. Were we really literally amazed?
I heard Eddie Izzard, who's an English comedian.
Oh,
he's talking about like he went to a restaurant, it's called like Awesome Hot Dogs, and he was like, could you imagine the first guy on the moon? They're like, hey guys, what does the moon look like? And they're like, it's awesome. And he goes, what do you mean awesome? Like, you mean like a hot dog? And he's like, it's like 1,000 hot dogs, sir.
Well, at least 1,000.
And the second thing, of course, is that we commodify music and art in general, but in a way that isn't like done in the old world, you know, in that way, because of the way that they view art.
Right.
It's separate from it being a vehicle to sell liquor and t-shirts, which is right. what it's yeah. been reduced to here in our great society.
And I think that's
that's
the biggest difference of how you're treated in playing in Europe. Because
you're treated like an artist instead of just a dude who's working in a bar.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what we are.
Yeah.
And that might explain just honestly the history of amazing European musicians that we've gotten. That's the quality, the caliber, you know. You got Zeppelin and Sabbath and all that sort of thing coming out of there, as opposed to, you know, Poison.
But I will say, I don't want to say
Def Leppard is English.
Hey, they were originally pioneers of the new wave of British heavy metal, and then they became.
Just interviewed Def Leppard.
No, I haven't. Hasn't happened yet. Trying to interview Def Leppard.
Dude. Strike that.
I'd give my left arm to play drums in Def Leppard, brother.
I think you have to. I think you have to.
You and I both, and we still wouldn't be that good.
That's true.
Well, okay, I got two things. All right,
well,
to say.
I know the worst British food. What's the best British food, man?
No. So I wanted to say the worst food that we had in Holland, I don't want to say where we were or anything, but we had been eating all these like vegan spreads and everything.
Right.
And we went to this venue. They had an amazing green room, an amazing venue, everything, but the meal we had was straight up like frozen green beans and like frozen chicken patties or something. It was
like a soggy microwaved chicken patty. And that's like what you get every night over here. So like the fact that we remember it.
Yeah, we remember it like specifically. We're like, oh,
that was the worst night of my European life.
Yeah.
They dared to serve us a meal in the States.
Did you guys play England? Did you all play England?
No.
We need to do that because that's a whole other entire food debate.
A whole nother.
Dude, I'm telling you what, brother. If you guys do go, I'm telling you what right now.
I'm gonna tell you what.
If you guys need a merch guy on the European tour, I got my passport and I'll bring the podcast equipment.
Nice.
We'll start off Quiet Hollers podcast and guess what we're gonna call it?
How many languages Holler, do you speak?
If you hear me,
bangers and mash.
Yeah.
The only thing that's like edible in England is bangers and mash.
Yeah, dude. Miley Cyrus made an album about
sausages and fucking bangers. Potatoes, man.
What about like
hobbit food over there? You know, it's good.
They got beans, eggs, and they got meat, and then everything else is fucking bullshit.
Can I just the Def Leppard's drums though? The reverb.
Oh man, it's coming back.
The reverb on the drum tracks.
That's
on
a Bob Rock.
Def Leppard albums. I can't handle it.
That's a Gator reverb, man.
That is a Bob Rock staple. You'll hear that on Def Leppard. You'll hear it on the Black Album, Metallica's Black Album. You'll hear it on Dr. Feelgood. Yeah. It's a Bob Rock. It's a producer.
Can't
it's a staple.
It. Can't take
oh, well, I guess
not
Lang
a Bob
too.
Rock fan.
You know what happened though is like during the late 70s, early 80s, we really reached the pinnacle of recording.
I agree.
Like it really happened then. That's when we got the best quality recordings on the best equipment they had at the time before Pro Tools, which made everything easy, came out. That was the pinnacle.
You know, I actually have a theory that the best sounding albums are the basically coming out of like the hair metal genre, but
say metal, 80 to 85 almost.
I would actually say I would beg to differ and say like 91, 92.
Ooh, yeah,
like when you have like Black Album and
yeah.
What was Slave the Guns N' Roses album? What was the Guns N' Roses
Use Your
album?
Illusion 1 and 2.
No, the Spaghetti Incident was the
covers
one
album.
No, Spaghetti Incident, I think, was like the first one they tried to do all digitally.
The first Rage Against the Machine record came out right then, too.
Yeah.
And that shit is maybe one of the best sounding records of all time.
I don't know what it was with Spaghetti Incident, but I know that it's like historically bad recording sound-wise. Like, if you look up articles about it, like...
Well, Pro Tools was like a thing at that point.
Yeah.
Like, by 92-ish, Pro Tools was a thing that was in, like, studios.
You tried to be so sneaky, moonwalking out of here to go to the bathroom, just good, tripping over everything.
Valiant effort.
Yeah, I give you an A plus for effort.
I give him an A.
But you're right though. You know, a lot of albums in the mid '90s, man, they just once Pro Tools really hit, and you listen to some of those bands, like you know, you listen to Dr. Feelgood from Crew, just to like use an example that I discussed earlier. Like Dr. Feelgood sounds so awesome, and then you listen to like Generation Swine that came out in the mid '90s,
yeah.
And it's all done on Pro Tools, and it's like in a grunge era, and it sounds like horseshit.
To me, it seemed like they got super compressed.
Well, the coolest thing that happened, in my opinion, in the like the '90s was like the Rob Zombie cut edit thing.
Yeah,
like that became.
What do you mean?
Like okay, that fucking shit that happens with what was that band?
Disturbed.
Disturbed. Like okay, so like I think he's doing that actually with a vocal, but like the way those vocals were cut and like having that kind of like hyper editing thing, Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
All of that.
All
that
of like was the sound was, clips put in
that
there.
That was what was really cool about the 90s as an audio engineering thing because it was editing that became hyper aware. Like right. all of a sudden you could take all the sounds that got mastered. They got mastered. Like they mastered recording kick drums and snare drums and shit to tape and then dumped it on Pro Tools and it worked the same way. It didn't have tape compression, but it sounded good. And then they brought in hyper editing and made songs like cut in and out. Like, I mean, it's like all of the dubstep, all of like the, right. the techno shit we have now. That's all based on the fact that that editing stuff was available.
Yeah,
when
you could
those
do
hard
like
rock
a,
bands were doing it, when Rob Zombie was doing it,
right?
When Nine Inch Nails was doing it,
you could do like a Sgt. Pepper's like scale record with all those layers and stuff like that, and it would just be super available and super easy where anybody could do it. You just have to be.
Right.
It's like Photoshop, but for
yeah, and for, well, anybody can do it now. And that's right. that's kind of the thing that's beautiful and terrible about it is that anybody can do that. So everybody thinks they're an engineer, and at the same time. The fact that everybody can do it kind of like draws away from the what engineering really is, which is bringing the song out.
Right.
Yeah, it's about the song.
And so that hyper editing stuff, all of that like super clear, crazy kick drum shit, the you know the vocals having multiple doubles of every note and everything's auto-tuned correctly. It's like, but yeah, but what's the song about?
Right.
Like, you know, what are you trying to say? What are your lyrics? What are your vocal melodies and how they move? Do they like. We, nobody talks about it anymore. It's all hyper edited,
right? Exactly.
And that is the beautiful thing and the terrible thing that happened in the 90s with Pro Tools is you got super editing capability and lost the need to do it right the first time on tape.
And I think that honestly you say that, but that brings up a good point is like that's what I like about your guys' band is that it is stripped down, it's simplified. The thing that people are going to be focused on is the quality of the songwriting, the quality of the lyrics, the quality of the music, and not, even though you guys have a nice stylized recording, it's not overwhelmed by mega production, you know? It's just, it's no frills, it's just straight to the point.
Rock album?
Yeah. Well, it's not underwhelmed by it's a band in a room either. There's a little bit of, I think, a balance between those
exactly.
two things.
And yeah. it really, you guys nailed it.
You gotta have, well, you have, oh, I feel like I you have so. To have it on each record.
We hope we nailed it.
Yeah, that's for everybody else to determine. We'll just do whatever we can. But.
So yeah, guys. And just to, you know, kind of keep the ball rolling here. So you guys did your, what are some other awesome tour stories? It doesn't have to be a European vacation story, you know? It doesn't have to be a Clark Griswold type story, but what are some other awesome tour stories? Certainly you have some, right?
Well, one time we were playing in the same venue on a different stage, but as the band Anvil. You know the band?
Oh, yeah, Metal on Metal, dude.
Yeah.
Speaking of Canadians.
So I got to walk downstairs after our set and go watch Anvil play to like 20 kids in this
awesome.
Old church.
Where was it?
That was in
Cincinnati.
Southgate House Revival.
Oh, I played Southgate.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, that's crazy. And Anvil played there.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite.
The same night as us.
Man, that's so crazy how the.
The band called Quiet Hollers played in the same building as Anvil. It was pretty much the opposite of Quiet Hollers.
That is fantastic. That is an awesome story, though.
My
but
favorite.
They were so enthusiastic, and they were so like. It's just like those dudes were born to do that, and they don't care if it's like 30 kids or 300 or 3,000, and they play doll.
That is inspiring about them.
You know, they're just like, this is what we play in a rock and roll band.
That documentary is like super inspiring. And what I like about that documentary too is like as a musician, you can totally relate to it. You know, you'll see like their highest highs when they're just like super, they have all this false hope about like how their stuff is going to turn out, you know, and then, and then like you'll get to see like their lowest lows, like when they tell them like, you know,
you're playing at Southgate House Revival at the same night as Quiet Hollers.
Right. You'll just see the disappointment well up in their eyes when they hear the Quiet Hollers name.
Okay, so my favorite tour story actually happened in the Netherlands. It was our last night there, and we had been touring for probably 2.5 months at the time, I think. And we're all just like exhausted and just like, you know, just having a good time, but also just kind of wore out. And we had been covering Judy as a Punk for a while before we went over there. And we decided to do it our last night there.
And, the Ramones.
The Ramones, yeah. Judy as a Punk. And so, you know, like there's this photographer at the front of the stage. And like we're getting towards the end of the song. Or the actually halfway point of the song. And I was looking at the photographer like right in front of me. And I was like, I'm going to do like a fucking Bruce Springsteen slide on my knees at this camera and just try to look like a total badass, right? As I'm playing this thing. And so like I slide down and it's like a not finished wood floor. And so I go to my knees, I don't slide anywhere. I'm in front of the camera. And then I go to stand back up and I just trip over like a guitar stand or something. And I fall into the drum set. Like half the drum set falls over, my shoe comes off. Like we're still trying to play the song.
It was amazing.
It was amazing. It was like the most fun I've ever had on stage.
But dude,
it was
like, shoes come off.
It was like this total blowout, you know, end of the tour type of thing that was just awesome. And, you know, it was a great show too. So
you probably felt like Smalls from The Sandlot whenever he tries to throw that ball and it's so embarrassing. And he's just like, my life's over.
For a minute, I was like, oh, this is fucking horrible. Because no, I was trying to.
During one of our serious songs, it would have been terrible. But
yeah.
We were covering Judy as a Punk. It's like, that's supposed to happen.
Yeah, it's punk exactly. Rock and roll. I just destroyed the drum set. But I was like, oh, I got to play the song still, you know. But like, after it was over, I was
just
like,
bass.
That was great. Yeah, I'm just a bass player. It doesn't matter anyways.
That's awesome. Hey, but D. Ramone can play that song nodding out on heroin.
Yeah, exactly.
He can play that song and stumble.
But you're not just a bass player, man, because you were telling me earlier, and I wanted to shed some light on this, because you got a lot of projects going on. I mean, you're part of the Never Nervous. I'm part of the Never Nervous Network.
Correct.
You know, the podcast is. Yeah. And you are one of the head honchos over there.
Yes, yeah. I've been doing Never Nervous for about 5 years now. Philip Olympia actually started it. Sid Bishop is the other person that's involved. And they're probably more involved with it than I am, because Quiet Hollers takes a lot of my time.
Right.
Obviously. But yeah, man, we do a lot of stuff with Never Nervous, including the podcast network. And
yeah, man, we're starting like a multimedia like empire.
Yeah, exactly.
Prestige. Exactly. Worldwide.
No, but you know, Never Nervous is just about like improving Louisville's music and art community. And
right,
you know,
and you have a release that's in the works right now.
Yeah, so I'm working on we have like some of my favorite artists in Louisville, including Wax Fang, who Dave plays with. I don't know if we mentioned that earlier. Wax Fang, Quiet Hollers, Bonnie Prince Billy, Joan Shelley, like a lot of really...
He's on Jules Holland tonight.
Joan Shelley's on Jules Holland tonight. But nice. they're all being remixed by local Louisville DJs and Louisville rappers.
Producers, beat makers.
Yeah, beat makers, producers, mm-hmm. whatever, and local rappers, MCs, rapping on this stuff. Some of it's just remixes, but yeah, the proceeds are going to Black Lives Matter Louisville, so I'm like really excited about it. It's kind of slow going at the moment, but I'm trying to get it out ASAP because I'm just stoked on it.
That's awesome. And you can give back to the community and
of course,
a cause.
Yeah.
Like, you're socially aware. Never Nervous, it feels like really socially aware and stuff like that.
We really try. Never Nervous
probably, I think, in my opinion, they do more to like to try and bridge the East End, West End cultural and mental gap than I think anybody else. Really,
and that's a big part of what we're trying to do. You know, we want to. So
it really is beating all of that. You just have to get over the "this is what we do" thing.
We're all artists,
right? Yeah,
we're all artists.
Going for the same goal.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the important and the other thing about it is that compilation, the Black Lives Matter compilation, it's using primarily like so sampled music from genres that are considered traditionally to be like. That's a white genre. It's alt country or it's indie rock or whatever. And I think that when you say, okay, well, we're gonna take not our words but our music, our tracks, and to use those and to use our voice as musicians in this community to let like artists of color have a more prominent voice and to lift them up, because I think, you know, we don't need to be as white dudes sitting around criticizing people for being racist or saying what we think is wrong with society. I do think that we should say, okay, well, we support Black Lives Matter and we want to give them a platform to say what they want to say.
Exactly. And that's the whole point. You know, like we have a platform to people that they don't have a platform to. So like people that are Bonnie Prince Billy fans are never, probably never before heard 90 to 99% of the rappers that are going to be on this album, or producers.
That's really true.
Right.
Yeah. And so they're going
I'm part of the 1%, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, but the same people are highly likely to be interested in something that they haven't heard before, because
that's true.
Bonnie Prince Billy is out there in that beautiful way.
Mm-hmm. Right, I mean, just he's taking a chance on something new.
Yeah, you know, he does that all the time with all of his, I mean, interesting song directions. Like, the guy is, you know, he's always doing something new.
And, like,
it's always a new sound, and that's the beautiful thing, is that there's no direction to any of this. It's just like, yeah, what are you doing that's cool?
I you know, I want to say, like, when I started this project, he was the first person to respond to anything I tried to do.
Will Oldham?
And Will Oldham was. And
oh, that's awesome.
That's what made me, like, so gung-ho and, like, ready to go, like, to make this happen.
Well, it's great to have him involved, man.
Yeah, I mean,
for sure.
I mean, Joe
Shelley's doing huge things right now.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, shout out to those guys. And I got to give a special shout out, though, to you, Jake, and to Never Nervous. And the reason why, I've actually talked about this on a couple. I did a podcast that was just a solo one with me, but I don't know if you've heard it yet, because I don't know if it's out yet by the time that we've recorded this.
A solo bolo.
But the Never Nervous podcast was the first podcast that I ever was a part of. And I don't know how it happened that I just. It was just me, when I know you guys probably asked for the band, and for some reason it was just me.
No, it's because we're cousins.
Right, it's because we're family.
We're fake cousins.
Yes, we are fake cousins. That's probably why. But
it's the most obvious
reason. We do have a mutual cousin.
Yeah,
that's true.
We
Jake
have a mutual
and I.
Cousin.
So we're pretty much brothers.
Cousins from another mother?
Exactly. Well, I have a cousin, and that cousin is his cousin,
exactly.
But we're related on opposite
and his
ends
name
of the
is Cousin Ryan.
Cousin
also.
Ryan. Shout out to Cousin Ryan.
Yeah.
But I wanted to, without getting too like too real on you though, like I discuss in the episode that I never really had any interest in doing a podcast before, and I never had been a part of one, and it was just somehow getting on there, being able to do it by myself, and listening back to it, and
it turned out great.
That's what inspired me to actually do this. So had I not shown up that day to do your podcast, we would not be here right now doing this one.
That's awesome.
And that's the truth. And I reiterate that in my episode, just because, you know, as a drummer, you're in the background a lot of times. You're behind the other people.
Yeah.
You don't
bass play.
Right.
Yeah. And you might give an interview, but it's only, you know, they're like, they ask the singer, hey, what do you feel about this? And then the guitarist, what do you feel about this? And then you might be able to get a word in at the end. And being able to give me a spotlight or a stage to just be able to talk. And on that episode, we just kind of talk about, you know, we talk about the band very little. It's mostly just about
pop culture
yeah. and things like that. But I felt like it would gave me an opportunity to really... show my personality, and it inspired me to want to do it as now my new passion project.
Well, and
so
I'll
thank
also
you
say
for
that,
buddy.
You're fucking great at it.
Hey, yeah, dude,
you're way better than I am. So
make it.
I've been doing
coffee,
it for like
man,
I've been doing it for like 2.5
that's
years.
Like
now.
Most of it.
I've been doing this for like 2.5 years, like hosting podcasts, and I still don't know how to introduce people for whatever reason. So, like, you're already better than me.
I'll give you read the bio.
The Bible. Read the Bible, guys.
Read the Bible.
Some people just don't read the Bible. They're not prepared for these sort of podcasts, as we mentioned earlier. All right, guys, but now that we're wrapping up, we're getting towards the end here. I just want to kind of reiterate here, where can people find you online? And
yeah, they can go to our website, quiethollers.com. We're also on every single platform of music consumption or social media, or they make you do everything now. So whatever your thing is, we're on the thing.
YouTube and SoundCloud and
Instagram.
Bandcamp.
Medicine will be streaming by the time this comes
Instagram
out.
And Twitter.
iTunes. Yeah, Medicine's out today. And
Spotify.
So you got to check out the new single, Medicine. You got the new album, Aim and Breaks.
Mm-hmm.
7/7/17
And come see us at Forecastle.
Oh, and that's a big thing. And we didn't talk about it, so I'm gonna hit it up. You guys got Forecastle this year, which is like the event.
Actually, Forecastle got us.
Oh, snap.
They did.
Forecastle, the gauntlet.
We're
has
also
been
doing
thrown
a
down.
Free show at Iroquois Amphitheater, which is a huge, beautiful venue in Iroquois Park here in Louisville. That's June 3rd that's going down. It's the Global Lou Festival. Put on by the Americana Community Center folks, who help refugees who are trying to settle here in the States and here in Louisville especially, and Global Lou is an event that they put on every year at Iroquois Amphitheater, and we were really excited to be able to work with them on this because it's an organization that is like actively trying to bridge gaps in our community by basically providing a place where we can come and appreciate each other's cultures, which I think this year, probably more than any other year, I think is so important for us to do.
That's absolutely fantastic.
So we'll have Cuban folks there at that show. We'll have Somali folks that are now settled in Louisville.
That's awesome.
And they'll be probably seeing us for, in a lot of cases, the first time. So
they'll probably be like, hey, guys, I thought Anvil was supposed to be playing this.
Yeah, thing. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Where's the reverb?
This is not what I expected.
Where's the reverb? Where's Anvil? All right, guys. Well, hey, listeners, thanks for tuning into the Sean vs. Wild podcast. Check out Quiet Hollers on all social media, Facebook, Twitter, Tinder, Grindr, LimeWire. Frostwire.
Craigslist.
Look them up on Craigslist, guys. Their listings are fantastic. And yeah, guys, thank you so much.
A lot of misconnections.
We're on misconnections.
Oh, and if you're trying to buy a house in Cincinnati, hit me up.
Mm-hmm. Jake's got a house in Cincinnati just waiting for you to move in.
I've got some oceanfront property in Arizona.
Sweet. George Strait. If you'll buy that, I'll throw the Golden Gate in free.
Actually, if you got some oceanfront property in Maine that you're willing to sell, I'm also into that.
Fantastic, guys. Well, hit us up and then check out Sean vs. Wild podcast, of course, on iTunes and Stitcher and all your favorite podcast apps. This has been my show. This has been the Quiet Hollers. Thank you guys so much for doing this.
Thank you, Sean. Thanks for having us.